Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6:14, and the show is on the way. Well, let's start it now. Show number 876. Why don't we just do it? Why don't we just go ahead and do the top six at six?
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
You see, the Pope wrote a letter to Chicago families victimized by violence.
How cool is the Pope?
It's great. And it's inspirational.
Yes.
And I think it's a nice thing. And, you know, the churches are, in a large way, the folks holding it together in some of the toughest neighborhoods in the city. So thank you to the Pope. Now we'll see if we can find some more good news. Next! Nope, out of it. Yeah. Rest looks like a lot of politics. Item number two, Sean Spicer, on behalf of the White House, blaming Obama for the Syrian chemical attack. On the same day that the Trump White House said, we're not going to do anything about Syria.
Yeah.
So in other words, the house is on fire, but we're going to let it burn because we didn't start the fire.
Yes, to quote Billy Joel, yes.
Yeah, not good. Next! Thought we're out of paper.
Don't
again.
You watch these press conferences every day with Sean Spicer and just think, okay, what's it's almost like you watch the opening of Saturday Night Live to see if Alec Baldwin's going to be at or Melissa McCarthy or what it's
going to
be.
Oh, it's must see TV.
It is must see. Yeah. Must watch.
The Democrats certainly not helping when Joaquin Castro, the up and coming young congressman from Texas, says somebody in Trump world's going to jail. He told Wolf Blitzer yesterday, he's on the Intelligence Committee in the House, and he told Wolf Blitzer somebody's going, that could be right. But I'm not sure that helps. Next.
The paper.
We're in a budget crunch, Steve.
Is that what it is?
We're in a budget crunch. There's no paper in Springfield, and we're running out here.
I don't feel like the paper is as strong as it is when I crumple it up. I don't know.
The paper's still on the mend.
Like me.
Yeah.
President Trump's popularity numbers have fallen to 35%. Steve Bannon and Sean Spicer wish they were at 35%. Sean Spicer's popularity is at 20%. Steve Bannon somewhere around 12. Congress still floating between 10 and 15. Any of those numbers in the real world, you wouldn't have a job.
If they're listening, that's not good.
No.
Just FYI. That's not.
No, we're going to have to give you an F and it's going to be in your permanent record. Next! You know who Joe Scarborough is? Morning Joe.
Yes.
On MSNBC. Joe Scarborough and Jared Kushner, and you know, crazy Roger Stone is Trump's old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
What do those three have in common? What do you think?
God, this could go so many different ways. I'm going to let you tell me.
What they have in common is Roger Stone is claiming that Jared Kushner is leaking information to Joe Scarborough, including negative information about his own father-in-law.
Mm.
Now we know there's tons of leaks coming out of the White House. This one I find a little hard to believe. Not that Roger Stone's not a completely credible source. But Joe Scarborough, Jared Kushner, Roger Stone. Roger Stone says Jared Kushner leaks to Joe Scarborough.
Uh-huh. You know what the White House needs, Steve? Permaseal.
They do need permaseal. That's a great idea.
Think about it. All the leaks there.
All the leaks going on. One more next. More advertisers are bailing on Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly. This is the only way Bill O'Reilly loses his job. Bill O'Reilly, who has had, I believe, a total of 5 sexual harassment suits settled out of court. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly is losing advertisers. He's got to lose a lot because he makes a lot of money. But this story is not over yet. So that's just something else going on at Fox in the year of sexual harassment that goes back to last summer. Uh-huh. Anything else from you, too? Because there's your six.
Boy.
No? Okay.
The Pope, that was a nice one. The
Pope wrote
a letter to Chicago families.
Yeah. One good story.
Are we at our limit? Six?
Yeah, that's six. Unless you got a seventh. You got a bonus?
Hawks, no.
Hawks, no. Masters. Raining cold.
I have a mini bonus. Well, it's
Masters,
not really a bonus.
There's tornado warnings at the Masters.
I was going to say, there's huge rain and flooding
and
warnings
wind.
For today. Because remember when the waves crashed up on Lakeshore Drive and they had to close a portion of it? That could happen later today.
So just
in Augusta?
No, here.
Boy, that'd be a hell of a wave.
That would be.
Augusta's inland. What's the name of the guy I like now, the ex-FBI agent, Clint Watts?
Yeah, I still think he looks like a young gentleman.
He's great. Sandberg, are we getting anywhere with Clint Watts? Okay. Not yet. We're working on it.
I think we'll get him.
You know who else is a tough guy? It's cut six, Jake. Phil Mudd. Phil Mudd was an ex-CIA agent, and he's just one of these tough-talking dudes that you know. He's probably killed a guy with his bare hands once or twice, but only because the guy had it coming. Here's Phil Mudd yesterday on CNN talking about Sean Spicer.
She goes forward and says, I'm going to unmask those names. Not only appropriate, but it's her responsibility to know this. This is a smokescreen by the White House. By the way, Sean Spicer knows about as much about intelligence as I know about ballet. This is dime a dozen what the National Security Advisor should be doing. Got to know how people are trying to impede the President of the United States from implementing sanctions. Got to know who's talking to the Russians. It's that simple.
Meanwhile, another legendary tough guy, John McCain, weighed in as well. Give me eight, if you would. Senator McCain had some very pointed comments about people who think it's a good idea to have the filibuster go away and to blow up the rules in the Senate. Both of these clips will give you a sense of how cranky people in Washington are. Here's the senator.
After 200 years, at least 100 years of this tradition where the Senate has functioned pretty well, they think it'd be a good idea to blow it up.
There's some that say...
Idiot.
That,
no, whoever says that is a stupid idiot.
We got to have him back.
You know, you get to be 80, you're going to say what you want anyway. But to have the senator call somebody a stupid idiot really is kind of amusing. So the Democrats are upset. The Republicans are upset. How upset are you? You know, you got to stay upset. That's all I'm saying. Meanwhile, in Springfield, it's going to shock you. Still nothing. 6:25. Let's take a break. Come back. Head towards the big story next on 720 WGN. Here's what's coming up on the program today. Elise Glink in a few minutes on your money. We like Elise a lot. Don't we like Elise?
She's fantastic.
That's what I thought. I'm pretty sure
great
you like
advice.
Her.
And her new edition of her new book's coming out.
The
new edition of the old book.
The NCAA hosting the Frozen Four here. Dave, let's go live to the Frozen Four. Dave, explain what the Frozen Four is.
Frozen Four is the NCAA hockey championship, the ice hockey championship. It is the equivalent of the Final Four in basketball, and the national semifinals will be played tomorrow at the United Center.
And the final Saturday night.
The final Saturday.
We'll have somebody on from that to talk about it. And today, we're going to do a couple things. The DNA results are in from 23andMe. I got mine. You guys have yours. Mary, you brought yours in?
Oh,
you can
I
gotta access them.
Find them. They're in an old email because I got them a long time ago.
Yeah. So we're going to compare the DNA results that Van de Velden and Sandberg and Andrea have.
Yeah.
With mine.
This is going to be interesting. So you haven't read completely through yours, right?
My report's very long.
Oh, I know it's long, but I mean, was there anything
that shocked you? One of the things that shocked me, it turns out I had a strong likelihood of losing my hair.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, you did show me something funny on yours, too.
Yes. Yes,
on your results.
A couple of those, yes. They even break it down to my Neanderthal traits. I have a lot of those. So that's coming up. And then we're going to do our Masters picks later. A bunch of my favorite people in the 9 o'clock hour with CLTV. Kurt Byram, PGA Tour pro, does a great job on the Golf Channel and NBC. He'll give us a take on the Masters. Brian Campbell, live from the road. Where would they be now?
They would be on their way to Anaheim. Anaheim. They play at Anaheim tomorrow night. I don't know if I would presume they're in Anaheim now. They flew after the game, but with the off day today, it's possible they're traveling today.
And the great Brian Regan. Brian hasn't been on the show in a while. We used to hang out a bit, and he's one of my favorite comedians. And he's doing stand-up, is it Friday night, Saturday night? He's in town this
weekend. He isn't. You know what? I think it's the 12th I think he's in town.
Yeah, that's the one I've been.
See some snow flurries as well, a high of 44. And then by Saturday, we should be back up to 60. Current conditions, right now we have 44 at O'Hare, 45 at Midway, and 41 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. Next news update will be at 7 o'clock. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Andrea Darlis on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
$6.39, Elise Glink at thinkglink.com. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So I thought...
Did I hear Andrea say that we're having snow tomorrow, maybe? That's not allowed.
Frizzle. Mm.
Okay.
But all 65 right. Saturday, 70 Sunday and Monday.
Nice. So thank you. That's all.
We just need the next 72 hours to go quickly.
Right.
So I was going to pick you up after the show and go to Payless Shoes. I guess we're not doing that now, huh?
No, so sorry. We'll have to buy shoes for you somewhere else today, dear.
So what is going on there? Because that, retail in trouble, obviously, but I don't know. Did anyone see this coming?
I think that Payless has been near the top of the list of retailers that people are very, very concerned about. They have, surprisingly, I didn't realize this, yesterday they announced that they were filing for bankruptcy protection. They've got liabilities of as much as $10 billion, and they only have assets of about $1 billion. So they're pretty upside down right now, and they're going to immediately, as of this morning, 400 stores worth of employees are going to find out that they no longer have jobs. But overall, they've got 4,400 stores in 30 countries, and I didn't realize how big they had grown.
So when you get a company that size and it starts to go south, it can't happen overnight. What's been their problem?
So the problem there is the same problem that I think a lot of older, more what we might call legacy retailers have in strip malls and regular kinds of retail malls across the country, which is that nobody's going to them anymore, right? It's just so easy to go online and figure out what you want. And if you get free shipping both ways, there's very little risk. And you get a year to return it, so that's a lot more generous than regular, bricks and mortar store policies can offer. And there's very little risk, and so people have gotten very used to being kind of lazy and ordering from their couch and having the stuff brought to them.
I think we talked about this in the air. I think there's a great sociological experiment. There's certainly a societal shift here, but what's it going to look like where people go to see other humans? Where not everybody's going to go to Starbucks. There's plenty of Starbucks.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to imagine how alternative reality is going to continue to change this. So we're starting to hear a lot about alternative reality, AI, artificial intelligence, and how computers are getting to the point where they're so real that you almost don't need humans. Well, that's the case with some sex dolls that are online from yesterday as well.
By the way, that store is still open.
Yeah, that one's never closing.
Right.
But it's interesting to kind of think about when I look at the next generation, my kids who are 19 and 21, the idea of going to a mall to look for clothing is just completely foreign to them. They just don't understand the concept, and they don't want
to
go.
I had to actually go to the mall about 2 weeks ago, at least. I think it was the first time I'd been to a mall since the holidays, even then. But everything is so easy online. And we're seeing, too, more and more of these retail stores closing. Ralph Lauren announced that he's going to be closing the Michigan Avenue store, which is a very popular.
Michigan Avenue's closing? I thought it was New York.
It's Fifth Avenue, New York, which is actually his flagship store.
But this one is in trouble, too?
This one I thought was in trouble as well.
I wouldn't be surprised. So what's interesting about Ralph Lauren, and I don't know, this kind of gets into the whole grab your wallet thing. He announced that he was just fine with dressing Melania Trump, and it's now I'm starting to hear all kinds of negative stuff about his sales. So it could have been going on before. There are 177 companies on the grab your wallet list, but it's relevant to what we're talking about with these retail stores because the top 10 of this 177 is Macy's, Bed Bath & Beyond, L.L. Bean, Bloomingdale's, Hudson's Bay, TJ Maxx, Lord & Taylor, Dillard's, which is like the Macy's of you know, the South. And those are all malls that are stores that are typically in big malls and are looking to attract traffic but are having trouble keeping up. We also know that Neiman Marcus is in trouble, and there's been talk about it being sold.
So who survives? The destination places, the Malls of America, the Oak Brook Mall, the Michigan Avenue, Woodfield,
maybe, because it's so big?
It's destination more than it's destination, number one. So what is the reason to go there? Is it fun to go there? What is the reason that you would show up at somewhere? Michigan Avenue is my idea of what would be sort of an ultimate shopping destination if I were a tourist. So a lot of people come to Chicago, and you know how crowded Michigan Avenue has gotten over the last 10, 15 years. People from all over the world come, and then they shop at Michigan Avenue. So that kind of a location setting, I think, is going to continue to do well. In terms of shopping malls, you know, Old Orchard, they're trying really hard. They've remodeled the whole place. Northbrook Court has been remodeling, mixing up its retail stores. I think as you bring in some of these newer, more interesting stores, people are going to want to go see what those are like. And part of that is the draw. You know, Uniqlo is on Michigan Avenue now, H&M. We're seeing store brands we're not familiar with from 20 years ago, and that's drawing some interest. Maybe that's the cracking of the code.
What are the stocks like? They've got to be awful.
Stocks don't look so great this year, so the department stores brand themselves are the biggest loser on the S&P. Bloomberg is reporting that shares have lost 18% since January. That is a big loss, especially if you're going out and trying to raise money in an era of rising interest rates. And apparel sellers fell 4.8% since the beginning of the year. So that isn't exactly what I would call great investments, not when the stock market is, you know, has been rising like crazy since the election.
It's at least like thinklink.com. Give me a positive for today. What else is coming up? I mean, you know, it's a gray, rainy day. We got 3 or 4 days of winter trying to hold on. I don't know if you heard, we got some political trouble in Washington and Springfield. Give me something positive about money, even if it's just how much money you have in your purse.
All right, I'm going to tell you something positive. Instead of having your taxes due on April 15th, you get to the April 18th this year. Three Fantastic. Extra days to slough it off.
Fantastic for procrastinators. This is
everywhere.
Good news.
This
is unless you, very good unless news. You live in the state of Illinois and are due to do a refund, that might be a little late.
I told Mary next week I was going to come back and talk about the things that you can do to keep more money in your wallet right before you file your taxes next year. So that's something to look forward to.
How late are the Perfect. Illinois returns or refunds going to be?
I don't think they're that late, but they're later than they normally would be. I mean, you know, you get the federal when you do get a refund. That's pretty quick, right, Elise? But the state is just, I would say, weeks behind.
Madigan's holding all the money?
I don't know if he's holding all of it, but
he and Rauner are having an arm wrestling contest, and that's how we decide what date it gets released. I will tell you the fastest, best way, if you are filing your taxes in the next 2 weeks and you want to get your return, the fastest, best way is to sign up for direct deposit. You save on all the fees. Nobody's going to try and give you a card, so you walk out the door, and that takes half of what you get. Just go with direct deposit from the federal government, and 10 days later, it'll go right into your bank account.
The worst way to do it is to sign up for the IRS store at the mall, where your check goes to the IRS store at the mall, and you have to go to the mall to pick it up, because apparently nobody's there.
Especially when it's
nobody's
a kiosk.
Lights are out at the malls all over America.
When it's a kiosk, that's not a good sign.
But there's some mall real estate that probably is going to be pretty reasonable,
right.
Huh?
I think so.
Well, there's actually a commercial real estate is starting to soften a little bit, even as we get ever more increases in rental property like apartments and things like that. Offices is hot, on fire. But when it comes to kind of retail mall and some of the general commercial space, we're starting to see a little bit of a softening, especially in some parts of the market, which is kind of interesting. And they're probably some more concrete reasons why, but I would say that we go through this cycle where we overbuild and then it kind of starts to come down a little bit. And I think that part of these companies going out of business, they eat up a lot of the space in retail malls. And now there's a move on to convert these to other uses. And it'll be very interesting to see how these huge malls get converted.
Well, I say support your retail. Support your retail. There's plenty of go shopping. There's plenty of things you can order online. I do it as well. But go to a store, for crying out loud.
You know what? You've convinced me. I'm doing it.
I always go to stores.
Yeah.
I rarely order online.
I'm not buying that Andrea's doing it, but I appreciate the fact that she said she was.
I will.
ThinkLink.com. Thank you, Elise. what happened? Hawks were up 3-0 last night. And I, frankly, moved on. Said, well, this one's good. What happened, Dave?
Well, they were shorthanded. They did have Duncan Keith and Nicholas Jalmerson last night.
Didn't Colorado score two shorthanded goals?
Two shorties last night after they were up. They were outshot, by the way, 51-27.
Well, you don't want that.
No.
That's not helpful.
I think it was like at one point like 16-2 or 16-3 the way it started. But they settled themselves. Nothing at stake for the Blackhawks except a club record 25th road win. They're still stuck on 24.
Which they'll get.
Yeah, which ties the record.
Yeah, and where are they going now?
Anaheim tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday, they will close the regular season in Los Angeles.
All right, and so this is just, another blip, even though, you know, as I said to, are we talking to Troy? I don't know, talking to Q? I guess I was talking to Q. Just, we're so spoiled. I'm so spoiled. I said, come on, win. Win everyone. It's unrealistic and dumb.
Well, but this was against the worst team in the league.
Yeah. So I should be upset? Is that what you're saying?
I think you should be a little upset. No, just because it's you.
All right, 6:54. Here's the Express. You know how this works. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. If it doesn't go well for the Hawks, we don't waste a lot of time.
In overtime, Colorado wins at 4-3.
That's your entire Hawks Express.
There were a few details that I think could have been included there.
I don't see it that way. No. Later on this morning, we're going to announce the season ticket winner for next year.
Wow.
From Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning.
What a great prize.
Pretty cool.
Every game, right?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. Now, this is a weird little sidebar here, but do you guys have something you eat which you're kind of embarrassed about, but you really like it?
Dave Keel.
Oh. Embarrassed about?
Embarrassed. Oh, you mean like spam or
the
something?
Prime
like
minister, the Prime Minister of New Zealand is a guy named Bill English. He likes pizza, but only if he puts canned spaghetti on it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like Franco-American?
Yeah. Chef Boyardee.
I don't think I have any
canned
weird
spaghetti on a pizza.
I do like the canned spaghetti with the mini meatballs. It's
really?
It's quick. Yeah, for lunch sometimes. I mean, not all the time, but I do.
And you
I
said
do
that
like
out loud.
Those meatballs
yeah,
are good.
They're delicious little meatballs.
I haven't had them in like 30 years, but they are really good meatballs.
So there's your text question of the day. What's something goofy that you eat that you're willing to admit? And we're not going to track you down. We'll make fun of you here. 312-981-7200 is the number. I don't know. I don't know that I have one.
I
eat a lot of stuff. I don't know that I have one that I really don't like.
I like olives on
or that
pizza.
That's really weird.
I don't think that's that crazy.
Not just pizza.
I eat
could
lemons with salt on them.
You do what?
I eat lemons with salt on them.
Why do you salt a lemon?
It tastes delicious.
Do you ever put lemon on a watermelon?
It's close. It's kind of weird.
I just stand in the kitchen and cut the lemon
salted
in half and put
lemon
salt on the
well,
top
that would
and
sort
then
of
suck
taste,
the juice out.
It would sort of taste like a margarita in a way.
It does, yes, right? Minus the alcohol.
Or I was going to say pour a little vodka.
Of course, Dave brings up cocktail.
Put a little vodka on the lemon. There you go.
I also really like that Tostitos nacho cheese that you can dip tortilla chips in.
That's
just
really
the cheese?
Good.
Oh, this,
I
love
yeah.
the cheese.
The can-
yeah.
in the, in
so
the-
like you open a jar and just put your finger in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
it's like
paddle the- by the fancy nacho cheese, but I don't like the fancy one. I only like the really yellow generic
I like that too.
Tostito
yeah,
brand.
That stuff's good.
They make, it's like a called, I think it's called Rotel, right?
Rotel. And
it's,
oh, yeah, that yellow
it's like
cheese.
The yellow cheese in the jar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very healthy. Yes.
I like sugar on French toast.
I like
sugar on French toast. That's pretty
it's
normal.
Good.
My
Isn't
mom
that
does
normal?
That too.
Yeah,
yeah
I think
that's
normal.
Yeah. Powdered sugar.
Everybody
sugar.
Yells at me when I do that. They're like, why don't you put butter and syrup? I go, I don't like that.
No, a lot of people put sugar, powdered
oh,
sugar.
Good.
Yeah,
that's
normal.
Yummy.
I don't like syrup. Yeah, I like powdered sugar and butter.
But there's got to be something I'm not thinking of.
Unusual
that you
for
do.
Me. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet anything Dave
eats. Do you
eats
put ketchup on something odd?
Well, hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Yeah. I can't believe we're friends, and you put ketchup on a hot dog.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, oh God, people!
I put mustard too.
Please, my heart rate.
Yeah. Right no, to, look, I grew up in upstate New York. I can't be. You know,
you're okay. There's, yeah. You're okay. You just can't be from Chicago and put ketchup on stuff.
You yeah. can be from the suburbs.
I get
we
a pass. Yeah, Vanderbilt's in serious trouble, but I get a pass. Texters, we'll give something away later in the show for this too. The weirdest thing you eat. It's time to fess up. We can get you help. 312-981-7200. I don't understand the canned spaghetti on a pizza. It's like the pizza crust is the delivery vehicle for the canned spaghetti. I don't get it.
Yeah, I guess it's like eating garlic bread, you know, with your pizza. Like,
yeah,
it's
maybe.
It's a bread.
Yeah.
It's a weird dude. This is why New Zealand's not the leader of the free world. It's Bill English's fault.
The Kiwis.
It's 6:58.
My husband says, I forgot. I like to eat A1 on roasted cauliflower. A1 sauce.
Oh.
I don't think that's weird.
Whoa, 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 I don't think that's too bad.
How do you forget about that one?
I forgot. Well, because it doesn't seem weird to me.
Well, you it's not like putting like ranch on pizza or something.
Yeah, you got to kill the taste somehow.
Ranch on pizza.
Oh, no, cauliflower is delicious.
It's the best.
But yeah.
Cauliflower is not delicious. Cauliflower tastes like a shoe.
Yeah, it that's why you need some.
Does taste like a shoe.
That's why I'd like to eat it with A1 sauce.
Okay. She wins. She's in the lead.
Anything you could put on cauliflower to make it actually edible would be fine.
Put some cheese on it.
Jeez. Yeah, or we're
hey,
back
I'm
to the jar
you,
of
you guys
cheese.
Roast some cauliflower for 20 minutes in the oven at 375 and then pour some A1 on it.
It's so funny that you think I'm going to have cauliflower around me. 6:58. Let's come back and do the news next on 720 WGN. Text number 312-981-7200.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is my kind of town, Chicago.
712, getting some great texts in and weird stuff you're willing to admit you eat. I hope this doesn't scare off the Frozen Four. Kristen Fassbender, director of championships for the NCAA, is one of the leaders of the team that selected Chicago to host the event. So, Kristen, let me just start by saying thank you. I think this is great for the city.
We're really excited to be here, Steve, and we got in, most of us yesterday, a couple of us on Monday, and have been over at the United Center getting things final prepared for tomorrow's game.
And how much do you depend on the Hawks organization for help?
They've been amazing. I think, you know, the NHL team buying into the fact of having the Frozen Four in their building is so helpful to us, and they're really excited to have the championship here as well.
Kristen, what's been the reaction in terms of ticket sales? What's the availability? What kind of crowds are we looking at?
We're looking at almost a sold-out crowd as of right now. I think we have about 100 tickets left, and wow. Those are available through the box office at this point. And, you know, I think for us, it's just such an exciting event. If you've never been to the Frozen Four, we have fans that come every year, no matter where it is. They plan their vacations around it, and it's a real exciting, loud event and fun for college hockey.
We know Notre Dame travels well. How about the other schools?
They all, you know, almost everyone took all of their team tickets, so I think we're going to have a really good crowd from all four of the institutions. You're right, with Notre Dame being right down the road, we think we'll probably see quite a few Notre Dame Fighting Irish here, but I think you're going to see plenty from the other three schools as well.
And Kristen, quite a few Blackhawks whose alma mater is the Frozen Four, including our friend Stan Bowman.
Yes,
which is very
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, and you know, we were just talking about this the other day, too. We had last year Nick Schmaltz won a national title with North Dakota last year. And, of course, Jonathan Toews has made the Frozen Four with North Dakota as well. So I think that also helps. You mentioned, you know, the Hawks organization being so supportive. I think seeing that, you know, the college players that they have had come through the college ranks really helps as well.
I know everybody watched the Final Four last weekend of the championship game Monday night. How is the vibe different for the Frozen Four, or is it? Is it kind
it's better because it's hockey?
Well, oh, that aside, Steve.
Okay, sir.
No, I think, you know what, Steve, I think it's definitely similar, and I've been to my share of Frozen Fours, Final Fours, and we have a great team of people from our office that put that on. We, of course, don't have 70,000 people. We'll probably have closer to 20, but it's a very similar vibe from a standpoint of just the excitement and the loudness, and, you know, college hockey fans are awesome, and like I said, travel no matter what, and you'll see people in every college sweater walking around Chicago here the next few days, whether their team is here or not. So I think it's just a real fun vibe. You know, there's only 60 schools that sponsor Division I hockey, so that's a small group, but they are small but mighty, I will tell you that, when it comes to their fans.
Yeah, and it's good to see Notre Dame get in, not because of the fact that they're just down the road, but because, you know, a lot of the usual suspects you see this time of year, Minnesota Duluth and, you know, Denver's really strong. I don't think Notre Dame was even ranked, were they?
You know, Notre Dame was a 4 seed going in to the weekend. So I think, you know, it's exciting to see them. I think that's the one thing about our college hockey with 16 teams. Those top 16 teams are all really good, and they're very splitting hairs when you're trying to put them into a tournament. So It's exciting to see them here. You know, Harvard hasn't been in a while either, so it's fun to have some new blood in the tournament, and Notre Dame being the host institution this year for the Frozen Four. So for each of our championships, you always have to have an NCAA institution or conference as a host. So Notre Dame has been the host institution as part of the bid from the beginning. So it's kind of fun for them, I think, to actually, you know, have been helped with all the planning, and now the team gets here as well.
And the Harvard kids are fun because they, while they're skating, they postulate theorems.
So, is that right?
Yeah, they're very smart. This is great for us. We love having the Frozen Four here, and I certainly hope you guys consider doing it again because it's going to be a great weekend. And for those folks who don't have tickets, they're going to want to be a part of it. No, so let's set it up. First game is when?
First game is tomorrow night at 5 p.m., and the second game it will follow tentatively about 8:30. And they're both, if you can't get tickets, they're both on ESPN2. And you mentioned, too, Steve, you know, other things to do around this weekend. We do a Frozen Fest, so kind of our version of a fan fest outside on both Thursday and Saturday down by the United Center. And then on Friday, we have our version of, we have the Hobey Baker Award that goes on as well on Friday night. And we do NCAA autograph session prior to that. And that's going to be down on Navy Pier right at the Grand Ballroom there. So the two teams that advance on Thursday night will sign autographs on Friday right before the Hobey Baker is announced.
Yeah, and the Hobey Baker, Outstanding Young College Player of the Year.
Correct.
And it's a family-friendly event, too. This is a great thing to bring your entire family to, right, Kristen?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's so exciting, and we see all ages. We have quite a few folks in our office that have, you know, with us being the NCAA office only being in Indianapolis, I think we're going to see a lot of our staff come up with young kids that are real excited about the chance for the Frozen Four to be close. We've never been in Chicago, which I think this is my 18th Frozen Four, and the fact that we've never been in Chicago seems so weird to me, just being as close as it is in such a hockey town. So we're very excited to have it here, and the folks with the Chicago Sports Commission and the Blackhawks United Center, they've been amazing. So we know it's going to be a great week.
And because I'm such a hockey head, maybe I'm not the best judge of this, but here's what we know. With the Hawks' resurgence over the last 10 years, and dragging the NHL along with a comeback, which the NHL needed as well. You've never seen an explosion like you have in youth hockey. Youth hockey, of course, turns into kids who are going to play college hockey someday. And I think this will continue to blow the Frozen Four up into something that's even bigger.
I agree. And, you know, I think we've seen, as you guys can appreciate, you know, we're always trying to fight for people to get into the buildings and come to the event. And why do you want to come? And I think, as you mentioned, with the youth hockey resurgence, we're going to see kids start wanting to, you know, be more and see all these college kids and want to be part of this. So we're hoping it continues to grow.
You know, when I was at Harvard, our team wasn't that good.
Right. Is that because you were on the team?
I don't remember you playing on the team when you were at Harvard.
I did. Then I woke up. Yeah. And it was over. How do we get tickets, Kristen?
You can go to NCAA.com, and you can also go to Ticketmaster at the United Center.
Grab them before they're gone. There's only a few left.
Absolutely. Yep.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
And have a great weekend. She's very nice, isn't she?
She's great. Yep. Love Kristen.
So there's five local kids who are on these teams.
Name them. Playing.
Eric Fear from Winnetka on Denver. Greg Ogard from Wilmette, also on Denver. Adam Ballman from Chicago and Michael Floodstrand from Hinsdale on Harvard, along with Steve Cochran. Mm-hmm. And then there are, let's see, three Notre Dame, Bobby Nardella, Jack Jenkins, Tony Della, all local guys.
And it won't be just their parents who are at the game.
No, no. So. And here's something else. You love hockey.
Yeah.
How many times can you go to the United Center and watch a doubleheader?
Yeah, but that. How about that?
You sometimes, yeah. I know you sit there after the Hawks game is over wishing they'd play it too.
Play again. Play again. And do we know a favorite for the weekend? I mean, I know Denver's top seed.
I mean, I got to think the home, kind of a home ice advantage for Notre Dame is going to help them.
Right? I'm going to say Harvard because of Steve's alma mater.
Yeah, sure. You know,
postulate. Yeah. Ooh.
And the banners, by the way, are all up along Michigan Avenue, too, which is pretty cool.
It is cool.
Frozen Four.
Yeah. John, you went to Harvard, Illinois, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's close.
Yeah, I was on their hockey team. Thing. It was me and Frank.
Do you remember the last time we went to Harvard, Illinois? It was for a roast for Orion Samuelson.
Yeah. Well, I think we can agree with this. He had it coming. It's 7:20. We'll check in with a doctor to see how I'm doing. For those of you who missed it, I had a little medical situation going on.
How are you doing, Steve?
That's not a good day today, but I'll be fine. It's 7:20. Let's get traffic first. Here's Mary on 7:20 WGN.
Gross.
So I got this discussion earlier. Weird stuff you're willing to admit you eat. You texters are weird. How about matzo with butter spray and garlic powder?
That's not too weird.
Well, it sounds kind of good.
Yeah.
Peanut butter bacon and bologna sandwich on toast so the peanut butter melts a little.
Okay, that's so gross.
Elvis liked it. 727, my dad puts orange marmalade on his garlic bread. That's an odd combination.
Not too bad. Salty, sweet.
I think your dad might be pregnant. 224, I've been putting a fried egg on my spaghetti for years.
What is the fried egg phenomenon? Do you notice they put that in on pretty much everything now, like in high-end restaurants, on ramen?
This sounds like an accident.
That's gross.
This sounds like somebody had breakfast and somebody else had dinner, and the breakfast spilled on the dinner.
They collided?
Yeah. 847, red grapes dipped in yellow mustard.
Okay, that doesn't work.
See, I like mustard and I like grapes, but I don't know if I like that combo.
It's colorful, though.
Yeah.
815, I like jelly on my grilled cheese sandwich.
That would be pretty good, right?
I don't know.
I'm trying to look at the positive.
847, I like chocolate chip cookies with slices of sharp cheddar cheese. Well, that's fine. Chocolate and cheese. Mm-hmm. That's a French thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a French thing, but I just made it up.
Oui, oui.
630, salami and grape jelly on a bagel.
Salami and grape jelly on a
bagel. God, I don't know.
In the toaster oven. Mom ate it when she was pregnant with me. I thought it was disgusting until I got pregnant. Love it.
Wow.
815, my husband's favorite sandwich, tomatoes, Miracle Whip, and peanut butter.
Yuck. Mayonnaise and peanut butter?
See, all that is condiments.
Yeah, it's too much creamy stuff.
I don't like mayonnaise anyway that much.
What mayonnaise do to you?
I just don't like it.
How about this one? 630, my husband puts ketchup on Chinese food.
Okay. Although, some restaurants put ketchup in the pad Thai.
Is that
maybe
right?
Maybe that's, yeah.
574, liver and licorice milkshakes?
Oh, no. As soon as you say liver, that pretty much does it.
Here's some more chocolate and cheese. 630, Oreo cookies and cheddar cheese. 847, grape jelly on liver sausage.
I don't think that would be too bad, although I'm not a big liver sausage person.
You know, that would make you everyone.
I know.
Yes.
I know. When I was little, we would make chocolate chip cookie sandwiches. So we'd take bread and we'd put chocolate chip cookies on them and eat them as... We were kids, you know.
Sandberg likes the liver sausage, apparently.
Why is
this not a shock?
Oh, that's
I particularly
gross.
Like high-end chopped liver, like from Max.
What am I, high-end chopped liver?
So do dogs. Dogs love liver sausage.
But I love it on a saltine, and I can see it tasting good with jelly. I'll try that someday.
815, my husband eats Miracle Whip on his chicken strips. And ketchup on his macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
I think Bennett just said in there, Bennett, one of the producers, that he likes ketchup on macaroni and cheese.
Well, Bennett's a goat. Bennett will eat anything.
And he's about 100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, but Bennett literally... Bennett, how old are you, 25?
24.
24. He's 6'4". He literally will eat anything.
Yeah.
I saw him gnawing on a chair in here the other day because we didn't have any food.
Put a little jelly on it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 728. So here's the deal. I have what's known as a pulmonary embolism. You don't want this. There is, you know, I've got a fine medical team. Dr. Ambler and his team, wonderful job. But it's going to take a while to get back to good.
Yes.
So I have a blood condition that is hereditary that causes it, and it's not good. If you have the symptoms, please get checked out as soon as possible. Because it could kill you.
Yeah.
And
yes,
you know what?
Steve.
That'll ruin your whole day.
You know what, though? You didn't ignore the symptoms. You did go to the doctor.
Right.
And then right before you really got sick, you said, I have this shortness of breath, and I don't think that's normal with bronchitis.
Is there anything good about shortness of breath? Does anyone like shortness of breath? Sign up if you like shortness of breath.
It gets you out of doing things,
it
though.
It sucks.
I can't run the marathon because I have shortness of breath.
Well, the doctor yesterday told me it's going to be another month before you feel good. And I said, well, that's great. It's really good.
He could have told you 2 months.
Yeah.
Or a year.
Better than 5 weeks.
Yeah.
But you're not contagious, so you can see Abigail Grace, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just sit on the sidewalk, and I have Ross and Lauren bring her down to the car.
Yeah, you can't walk up there 3 flights of stairs.
But anyway, thanks for all the care and concern. I appreciate it. We have an MD on the phone. Is this the MD?
Good morning.
Is this the MD?
Hello, I'm getting on Steve's show.
Yeah, this is Steve.
WGN, this is MD.
This is MD.
I'm an MD. My name is Joe Brocky.
Got it, Joe. And did you have something to contribute to this?
Well, I think you got to figure out when you got Plumberry Ebolism, you got to work it out.
I got wait.
This is why you probably got it.
I got Plumberry Ebolaism. Is that what you called it?
That's what you said. I didn't say that.
All right, so I need to work it out. What are you talking about?
Well, okay. I mean, you could go through the checklist. Number one, do you smoke?
I do not.
You need to start.
No. Well,
you got to start. Does your wife smoke?
No.
She needs to begin.
Okay.
You need not only first hand smoke, you got to get the second and third guy smoke.
Should I go around and say a smoked ham? Would that be helpful?
Oh, that was another suggestion. I would go to a butcher and go, hey, can I sit in your stove?
All right, next.
Also, what about your car? Did it pass emissions?
Yes.
See, you got to fail.
Why?
Because you need that exhaust. That'll open up your passages. That'll open up your passages. It'll open up your neck.
It'll open up. Well, that does seem like, at least today it feels like it might be helpful.
Open up your neck.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that plumatory escalolism, it'll be with you for another month.
Yeah, we don't need that. You got another tip for me?
Yeah. Can you move?
Can I move? Sure, I can move, yeah.
Yeah, you a better, like, you know, for your breathing,
yeah.
You could go to Arizona, but I would suggest downtown L.A.
Oh, so you say, you mean literally move. I thought you meant, can I physically move? You see, literally, you mean move out of Chicago.
You need to leave Chicago and go to downtown L.A. Just for the summer.
All right, so the more smog and pollutants and irritants I can get into my lungs, the better I'll feel. You know what this theory is? This is like when you have a really bad headache and you wish you didn't have a headache, so you take a ball-peen hammer and you smash your toe, and then you just don't think about your headache anymore. I got to be honest, you don't sound like an MD.
No, I'm in charge of misinformed data.
That's what I thought.
Maybe you thought
said
what I thought. Empty.
I watched Dr. Oz.
That's what I thought, yeah.
You know, I love that show. Is he going to escape from prison? Is he not? Yes. It's phenomenal.
It's very good information. Yes, misinformed data. He's not actually a doctor.
No, I think he thought you said empty instead of MD.
Yeah, it's probably right.
Where's Doc Most?
Doc Most is calling now to make sure that guy's not licensed. Well, speaking of medical sort of related stuff, we all spit into test tubes. Well, not all of us. But Sandberg and Vandeveld and Andrea, and I did. And we have our 23andMe DNA results. We'll go over those coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's what we're trying to determine. If you listen to the show with any regularity, regardless of what you think of me, you have to agree that Vandeveld and Sandberg and Andre are nuts. So
we are not.
At Christmas time, among their bevy of gifts, I decided to get them the 23andMe kits and one for me as well so we could figure ourselves out. So, Andre, the results are in. Let's start with you. Give me some of the things you found out on your DNA test.
All right, so my DNA test, it's pretty much what I knew. I'm 75% Greek. And this is what I thought before I took the test. 75% Greek and the rest of the 25% a little mixture of French and Swiss and Dutch. All right, so 23andMe says that I'm 100% European. So that breaks down to 72% from Southern European.
Greece.
36% the Balkans.
Okay.
19% Italian. So I have a little Italian in me, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah. What was
and
his
then,
name?
Mario.
Okay.
Then 0.7% Iberian.
Iberian.
Yes.
Did not see that coming.
Little Iberian. Northwestern European, so I'm 2% French and German, 1% British and Irish, and the rest was all broadly Northwestern European.
So in the words of the former NFL coach, the late, great Denny Green, you are who we thought you were.
I am who I thought I was. We're not doing the Neanderthal part yet, are
not
we?
Not yet.
Okay,
that
good.
Scares me.
Mary? Vandeville?
I'm with Andre. You know, I going into this, both my parents are 100% Belgian, pretty much, and that's what I figured I would be. I'm, you know, Northwestern European, 98.4%, so that pretty much covers it, since Belgium is smack in the middle of French and or France and Germany. I'm 41.8% French and German. This is what gets weird. They said I have 20.7% British and Irish, which I was surprised about, and 4% Scandinavian, so... There was a Thor involved back somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Somewhere there was a Thor in your
Thor.
Past.
Yeah. Yes. Don't we all have a Thor?
Yes. A big, bulky Thor.
We'll get to your Neanderthal traits in a second. Samber?
I wonder what Mary's self-conscious DNA report was.
Good point.
My mother thought there was Spanish involved somewhere, but she was wrong, I guess.
How was I supposed to know? I'm not going to spit in that thing. Are you kidding? It's gross.
Yeah, it was gross. It took a long time.
It's just one of her vacations, her mom and her Spanish thing.
You've got to be kidding me.
Samberg?
I'm boring white, as I told you.
I don't think boring white is one of the categories.
It doesn't
Where
say that.
Is that on the sheet?
I am 99.4% European, 0.2% Middle Eastern and North African. I think that's because I have Italian. There's some. And then I'm 0.4% unassigned, which I'm not happy about.
Uh-oh.
The 0.4% that's unassigned?
Yeah.
I think that's the part that's so crazy for laundry.
Yeah, that's the part they couldn't figure out.
It can't be compartmentalized, man.
That's because I'm complex.
Now, also not surprising, and this goes to the validity of the DNA, because you kind of wonder, okay, is it really cool? Does it really work or not? Mm-hmm. But 99.8% African, and I think that's obvious.
Well, that's,
I mean, I've said it for
we
a long
knew
time.
That going in.
You know, here's my breakdown. 98.8% Northern European.
Okay.
That's why I'm always chilly. 30% broadly Northwestern European, and my favorite 0.2% South Asian.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. And I have, I'll start the Neanderthal chapter.
Okay.
I have more Neanderthal variants than 92% of 23andMe customers.
Holy
that
cow.
I think that seems accurate.
Yeah, you've always thought of me that way. 19% chance of a lot of upper back hair.
Okay.
81% chance of little upper back hair. Dave, how much back hair do I have?
I'm trying to remember, Steve. I haven't.
You guys, you cuddled?
Well, I haven't seen you for a couple weeks.
Right.
A
couple weeks.
An 82% chance of no bald spot. An 18% chance of a bald spot. I think that's where the DNA may have leaked.
The saliva spilled out.
60% chance of no dimples, 35% chance of dimples. Here's my favorite one so far. 71% chance of no cleft chin in either chin.
Either chin?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Ask Dave.
They even do an earwax breakdown here, which I'm not going to get into. They got my eyes right. Light hazel to dark hazel. That seems to be the prevalent feature. Freckles. When I was a little kid, man, I was all freckles.
Yeah, they went away.
Yeah, that was my first hip-hop name. I was called Freckles.
And you've never had any work done?
I think you have freckles now.
But I mean like freckles.
Yeah, I have the picture in my phone.
Oh, that's right. 58% chance of a lot of freckles. And this is one you guys should enjoy. I only had a 2% chance of having big curls in my hair.
Oh. You know, Abigail has curly hair.
Yeah, but let's pause for a second and imagine me with big, giant curls in my hair.
I can see you with the fro.
Yeah. Male hair loss, 60% chance of hair loss. Well, good for you. You caught up. Let's see. This one they got wrong as well. Most likely to be lighter skinned.
I think you have lighter skin.
Oh, no. Darker skin.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I'm going to walk outside.
Well, when you get tan, that's true. Sure,
come on. This one is good, too. 87% chance of little or no unibrow. 13% chance of moderate to thick unibrow.
Well, you wax, don't you?
Yeah. I have no unibrow as well. All right, give me your Neanderthal.
All right, my Neanderthal. I was kind of boring with my Neanderthal. I have 257 variants, but they only came up with four. I have no variants associated with having straighter hair, so I'm more likely to have curlier hair, which is somewhat true, especially when it rains. They gave me the less back hair category, but I have zero variants associated with that, so therefore I have no back hair, which y'all know
Dave,
is true.
Dave, is that true?
Kind
of. Of course it's true. Come on, back next. Me up. And height, just average height, 5'6 to 5'8, okay. Which is what I am. I'm 5'6. And then my favorite is that I am less likely to sneeze after eating dark chocolate.
I didn't get that category.
How come I have the exact same ones?
I have those too, but yeah, I don't have any variants.
I think we all have those. Yeah. I don't have any either.
I didn't come up on any of those.
So what are you guys saying? This is like one of those things where you put a nickel in the weight machine and the card comes out and it just rotates?
I think so. Otherwise, men are all more Neanderthal and they have more variants.
Well, we should be.
I'm just happy I can still eat dark chocolate.
So, how many variants do you have, Andrea?
I have 257.
Oh, boy. I have 304.
Anything else, Amber?
I have 266 variants.
I'm very new.
But I don't have a hairy back.
Dave, is that true?
You know what? I can't judge everybody's back.
I think I would go out on a limb and say Mary does not have back hair.
Well, we don't know.
I do not.
Yeah, we don't know. So there you go. That's just a little snapshot into 23andMe. Would I recommend it? Honestly, I don't know.
I would. I think it's kind of cool. Thank you for doing this for us. Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Now,
Thank you.
They sent me the upgrade with all the health stuff on it.
You didn't do it, did you?
No, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and it said I'm likely to have a pulmonary embolism this week. No. So it's very specific.
What was the one that said you're more likely to be a sprinter?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
yes.
This was a good one.
Yes, there's a thing in here that says I have more likelihood of being a sprinter, or sprinter muscle type.
Muscle type.
Bingo!
Yeah.
Throughout my entire life, people said, that guy's fast. All right, so there you go. A little snapshot into 23andMe. We'll do our Masters picks coming up. Also, after 8, Dean will be on. Kurt Byram on the Masters after 9 in the Seal TV Hour. Brian Campbell from the West Coast with the Hawks. And the great Brian Regan will be on the show as well today on 720 WGN. Is there any more texters with their wacky food? And by the way, John DeCosta, is there anything you eat? John, that is embarrassing. Well, not embarrassing. That's probably not the right word.
I think what Dave Ennett eats on a daily basis might be a little...
Unusual?
Unusual and weird. Not that quinoa and, you know, red cabbage isn't tasty, but...
I don't eat much red cabbage. I don't mind it.
I wouldn't eat red cabbage.
Came up in the 6 o'clock hour, the Prime Minister of New Zealand puts canned spaghetti on a pizza. Nothing?
Kippers.
Kippers
and hot sauce. And
I know Kipper McGee. He ran WLS for a while.
Kippers is a good canned
guy.
Fish.
That's a good guy. Mm-hmm.
And Kipper and herring, and right?
Like is that herring, what it is? Yeah. And I have a routine because when I'm at home, my wife Jackie says you can have the kippers with a little hot sauce on crackers, but then I have to take the can and I have to put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in the freezer until garbage day.
Of the odor.
Yeah. And I never thought I would, but kippers with hot sauce is phenomenal.
How bad does it smell?
Oh, let me tell you, it's bad.
I mean, is it like the E.T. thing where people come in white suits and they shut the house down?
The movie?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a total accident.
We don't have him there, and I don't have a closet full of stuffed toys.
Yeah, you're taking it a little more literally than I meant. But
yes.
Hazmat suit bad?
Yes. It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Scottish kippers. You could apparently put a fried egg on top of these too.
Yes, in England that was their protein in the morning. When I was in England, I had kippers, smoked kippers for breakfast with eggs.
When were you in England?
What were the tiny fish they pull out of
for
like
four
Michigan?
Weeks?
Alewives.
Alewives?
Yeah.
What?
Are they edible?
Edelweiss.
No, that's something else entirely.
Alewives.
No, I'm not thinking of Alewives, though. There's something else. There's something else that's called.
Minnows?
Isn't that a reality show, Alewives?
Yeah.
This is what happens. I bring something up, and then it turns into 6 different shows.
Hey, he brought up kippers. That's how it all started.
No, smelt. I'm thinking of smelt.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, smelt. Is smelt like kippers? Yeah.
No, but they smelt really bad.
Yeah, my father ate. My father was, 40 when I was adopted.
Okay.
So he was a World War II guy.
Okay.
So S on a shingle.
Oh, yes.
Spam was a delicacy.
Right.
But smelt. Yeah, I love the smelt.
Fried smelt. The Greeks fry up the smelts with a little lemon.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the difference because, like, sardines are little fish in the can.
Yeah, I love the sardines.
This
too.
Is one piece of fish, smoked, and you open it up. It's got the oil, but it's quite different.
It actually sounds pretty good.
It is good. It is good.
You know, you can actually get real fish at restaurants and places like that.
No, that's a They made that up.
And to add insult to injury, he eats these things, and then he has to, like, put them in a plastic bag, inside a plastic bag, in the freezer or something, because his wife doesn't want them thrown away in the house because they smell so bad.
I'm telling you, a hazmat suit would be a perfect gift for you. Yeah,
does she kiss you after you eat your kipper? No.
Kiss? Are we supposed to kiss?
Wow. Here's a crazy listener who puts chicken in noodle soup. Huh? Some of the listeners are really nuts.
That.
Let's see here. Coho fish.
Coho fish?
Yeah, coho fish.
So like hockey fish?
I don't know what coho fish is. It's a cool name, though. Let's see. I do the freezer thing, too, because of the smell. Am I married to Jackie? Well, there you go.
Oh, wow.
Your wife's having an affair. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
I've heard pregnant women eat that.
Yeah,
that's just a few. So if you'd like to continue on, we'll pick a few of you freaks to win some prizes before the show is over.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
And good morning to Dean Richards. What do you think so far? The segment going well?
I think it sounds fantastic. Don't you?
Dean Richards live at Channel 9 any moment now.
Why, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Dean. You sound like you're feeling better.
I feel pretty good.
And how are things there?
How are you feeling?
Not great today, but I'll be fine.
Anything I can do?
Well, the time you came over in that nurse's outfit actually made it a little worse, but I appreciate the effort.
I have an excellent bedside manner.
I'm a little concerned, though. I was watching the monitors, you know, just to keep an eye on what you guys are doing over there.
Yep.
And I noticed, and we don't have the sound up because obviously we're doing the show here, but I noticed you talking to Maury Povich. Did he finally admit he's your father?
No, it turns out he is not my father.
Oh, the test came back negative.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's got to be a relief for
you. You know, we did show a clip, though, from a show of his, and I try to watch it as much as I can, but I'm often busy between 1 and 3 p.m. when it's on weekdays on WGN.
Okay, can I tell you something? I like Maury. He's a great golfer, by the way, still. He's got to be 75 now.
78 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks great. But I like Maury. But the show is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's
I can't watch it.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
We showed a clip. He says that this is his favorite show that he's ever done.
Uh-huh.
Where he had a couple on, and they did one of those paternity tests.
Yeah. Seems to be known for that.
A woman had twin babies.
Okay.
Twins.
Mm-hmm.
According to the DNA test, he was the father of one of the twins, was not the father of the other.
Hold on a second.
What?
How does that work?
I don't know. Apparently, it can happen.
Maury, maybe you need to get a new DNA tester.
No, apparently it's possible where, you know, if the woman is, is a sharing company, shall we say, with more than one man, that it's possible to
be impregnated
by two different people.
But I thought the way twins were made, if I remember biology, mm-hmm. and I remember back then I paid more attention, was the at the point of when you become pregnant, you know, that's when it happens. You can't have another guy show up in an hour and add to the fun.
This happened once before, I'm just going to say.
On the Jeffersons?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh.
John DeCoss, I mean, I don't want to, you know, make this rumor any wider than it already is the father of one of Amy Rutledge's twins.
Yeah, we do know that. Yeah, that's true. That is fair. All right, so maybe it is possible. Did you guys talk about Connie Chung?
I mentioned her briefly. We talked briefly about how things are going.
They're still married, right?
They've been married very successfully since 1984.
Good for them. And what do they talk about at dinner? That's the running joke.
What do you
know, Connie Chung, award-winning newswoman forever.
Right.
You know, Maury comes home from work. You guessing Connie Chung doesn't go, "Hi, honey, how was work?"
She says, "Just whisper it in my ear.
So
I won't tell anybody."
But I like Maury. Don't you like Maury, Dean?
I like Maury very much.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy, very personable, very nice.
It's like Springer. You know, Springer never pretended it was anything other than what it was. Yeah. Neither does Maury.
No, he says it's completely entertainment. And we talked about, we talked about the news today. He was a very successful anchorman
right.
For years before he ever started this talk show thing that he's doing. Many of those years here in Chicago on WMAQ, he was one of the main anchors back in the day, back in the late 70s. He had some very interesting things to say about the news today. He had some very interesting things to say about daytime talk and, you know, how it evolves and how cyclical it is. We're going to play the full interview on my Sunday show this coming weekend. And maybe we'll talk about superfecundation.
Did you just curse at me?
Is the fertilization of two or more ova from the same cycle from separate acts of
sexual congress?
Intimacy.
Mm.
If someone with ova, I can concur.
How is Ova doing? I miss Ova's show, don't you?
You come see Ova anytime, Dean.
I used to love Ova's show where she'd give away her favorite things.
Maury's glad Ova's gone. All right, so we'll come back. We'll talk about Michael Ova. Keaton.
Ova.
Ova. Ova.
How many times Ova. Do we can work that into the segment today?
Shia LaBeouf news. The Daily Show is going to get a new follow-up. And Mel B, very bad news. Mel B, the America's...
Horrible story from Spice Girls.
Got talent judge as well.
Right.
And we'll come back and see if Dean wants to reveal anything else about Maury Povich or if Andrea wants to identify anything else on her body.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel
972. So, Dean, a bunch of texters on this. Two families, this is from the 815, two families from the county where I live adopted multiples with different fathers. One set of triplets with identical girls and a boy with different racial makeup. Same with the other set of twins, conceptions 1 month apart, one white father, one African-American father. So Maury's not the only one doing that.
Nope.
It's happening all over.
It's everywhere.
And, of course, we did see it originally on the Jeffersons. Remember the Willises?
There were, well, the Jeffersons, plus there were two different Lionels.
There were two different Lionels, but the Willises had a black son and a white daughter.
That's right.
And a white father and a black mother.
I don't remember the black son.
Lionel.
But that was the Jefferson son.
Oh, that's right. That was the Jefferson son.
That was the Jefferson son. Yeah. The two different Lionels.
Yeah.
Two different actors that played Lionel.
Remember Mr. Bentley?
Yeah, Mr. Bentley would come over and George would walk on his back.
Mr. Bentley was so weird, wasn't he? Yeah. There's no way I would have let him in my apartment.
Right.
So, hey, he's just being a good neighbor. 822. You know, you're talking about Maury Povich, Dave. Shirley Povich. In your hometown, one of the great sports writers of all time in Washington, D.C.
Legendary columnist for the Washington Post.
Yeah. That's his mom, right? Maury Povich's mom?
My dad, actually.
Dad. Yes.
Yeah.
Dad.
When it was okay to name a boy Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Shirley?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was the only guy that didn't say, stop calling me Shirley. So. What's the Michael Keaton story?
Michael Keaton is this close to signing up to be part of a film that Tim Burton is going to do, a live-action remake of Dumbo.
All right.
The Disney film Dumbo, which I think it's super interesting. A couple of reasons. Who would think that you could make this into a live-action remake? Story of a little elephant who is ostracized because of the size of their ears. But Keaton is supposed to be playing the bad guy in this movie, a ruthless businessman who buys a circus in order to exploit Dumbo and his mother.
And it'll have all the Tim Burton weirdness in it, for sure.
Undoubtedly. And this will be the first time that Tim Burton and Michael Keaton have worked together since 1992 when they did that Batman Returns movie.
How about that?
Danny DeVito's already signed on. Colin Farrell is close to being signed on. So that could be super interesting. I think it's like super interesting casting news.
As it turns out, Maury Povich has just announced that Tim Burton is Michael Keaton's father. It's all tied in today.
And that Dumbo is not really the biological son
nope.
of Dumbo's mother.
Nope. Dean, by law, has to bring a Shia LaBeouf story once a month. What's this one?
This one is an interesting one. First of all, he got arrested last week in New York. I know it's hard to believe that he would be in trouble with the law somehow. But he was live streaming a political protest, got into an argument that apparently turned into more with somebody who didn't like his political protest. So he gets arrested on harassment and assault charges that were later dropped because of lack of evidence. That's part of the story. The other story is I don't doubt that anybody even remembers his movie that came out just before Christmas time called Man Down. When it opened in the U.S., it only made about $500,000 total. Total box office take $500,000 in the U.S., which is not good. It opened in the United Kingdom this past weekend. Its total take, £7, the cost of one ticket. One person went to see the movie.
Well, that's not good. That's hilarious, but it's not good.
No, it's not. It's hilariously not good.
He needs to be kicked out of show business
for that. And the movie was not that terrible. It wasn't great, but it opened.
That's unbelievable. That's almost impossible to do.
It's got to be a record. It's got to be. There cannot be another movie that has performed that badly, where only one person went to see it on its opening weekend.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, post Daily Show shot. This is where Stephen Colbert broke out.
Yep, and then Larry Wilmore after when Colbert left.
Right.
And now Jordan Klepper is going to get a turn.
I don't know Jordan Klepper.
Jordan Klepper, I know that you've seen him on the Daily Show, kind of tall, lanky, wiry.
On the new Daily Show, the post-John Stewart Daily Show.
He was toward the end of the John Stewart era as well, but he's sort of their senior correspondent now. Probably best known for going to Donald Trump rallies and
stirring up trouble,
going to the Republican convention. He's very, very funny, I think. And he's going to get a shot in the fall. He'll take over the 10:30 to 11 slot Chicago time on Comedy Central.
And finally, what's this Mel B story?
So this is a serious story about domestic violence. Mel B has been married to a guy whose name is Stephen Belafonte. He changed his last name to Belafonte, but is not in any way related to Harry Belafonte, Sherry Belafonte, any of the famous Belafontes from show business. But there are those who have said that the reason that he changed his name to that is that he looks a little like Harry Belafonte and wanted people to think that he was a son. He is not. Anyway, he's been
bad sign.
He's been married to the former Spice Girl, Mel B, and she filed court documents yesterday claiming severe domestic violence, that he beat her, that he threatened to exploit her through their 10-year marriage. She details one incident about 5 years ago in which he punched her. She alleges that he punched her in the face, but forced her to tweet out that she fell while she was running in high heels, and that's why she had marks on her face. She alleges that he made her participate in sex tapes with other people and then threatened to release them in order to ruin her career. So she finally had enough, filed for divorce.
Doesn't she have a kid or two?
Filed a restraining order. They have a 5-year-old daughter together.
Yeah, you got to get out.
She's got a couple of older children, like in their upper teens from previous relationships. This guy, in 1997, had similar domestic violence charges filed against him by his then wife at the time. So this whole thing is not going to be pretty. But you know, another case where domestic violence goes on, and you know, nobody, the person who is receiving the domestic violence doesn't do anything about it for a very, very, very long time. So,
yeah, and there's a million reasons for that. And whether you have money or don't have money, and you know, you feel like that you're made to feel like it's your fault, and all the victimization things that these creeps do. There's nothing more cowardly than punching a woman or punching a kid.
Yeah.
And if these allegations are true, this guy should go to jail for a long time, and I hope he does.
Yeah, I always said when I heard about these stories decades ago, you know, why don't you just leave? Just leave when it happens.
Yeah, it's not
far
that easy.
Far more complicated than that.
Yep.
Far more difficult. So good for her for finally doing something about it. Good for her that that she has survived something that I'm sure was terribly unpleasant before any of her kids were hurt. Hopefully there'll be a good resolution.
And you know what, you guys, too? The courts need to have stricter laws and stricter penalties for this, because we did a story a while back on a woman who finally got an order of protection against her ex, and he had 30 He was arrested 30 times, but convicted not once.
Hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And the lawyers that bounce these people, don't tell me it's just business. Don't tell me everybody deserves a fair trial. If you're turning a puncher back out to do it again, shame on you. Not if bad things can happen in that scenario.
This is why we need a Maury Povich in our life to, you know, balance off these, you know, serious things.
It's not for me. It's not for me. By the way, a texter from the 815.
You've given it a shot, Steve.
A texter from the 815, Dean. What's sadder than Dean's story is that the guy in Britain couldn't get anyone to take to the movie.
Oh,
then he went by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad that the movie was so bad that only one person in the whole country went to see it. Even worse that somebody had to go.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was Paul Coit? It's my friend Paul Coit. Paul goes to the movie and his wife goes, I'm not going to that. I hate Shia LaBeouf. Yeah. So,
sad.
All right. And just to wrap it up in the most confusing way possible, tie it back to the Mel B thing. We posted a couple of days ago a list of resources for battered women's shelters and also for depression and suicide help, rape crisis hotline. Things of that nature. Do we need to repost those, or can people still find them on Twitter? Find them on Twitter, at Cochran Show, and follow me there.
I've been working with Chicago Abused Women's Coalition for decades. They're a fantastic group in Chicago that help women and their children who are in situations like that. Chicago Abused Women's Coalition. Happy to talk to anybody, happy to help anybody.
Well, it's like the crisis center for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Crisis Center for South Suburbia that we're both very involved in.
Yeah, so get a hold of Dean, get a hold of me, get a hold of Andrea, and for the people in Springfield that have either defunded or slow funded these places, if you think there's no victims there, you got another thing coming too.
I love when we're responsible.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen that often, but when it does, we're good.
Yep. Somebody mark this down. We were responsible. 8:31.
Remember we used to say mark the tape?
Mark the tape.
The good old days. 8:31. All right, see you, buddy.
Bye.
I'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess, as he lines up this last shot. He's got about 195 yards left, and looks like he's got about an 8 on him. This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere. A former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion. It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Possibility the Masters will be moving to coastal South Carolina based on the tornado threats today.
They need a dome.
Yeah. Par 3 contest still on, as far as we know?
As far as we know, yeah. But the forecast, I just looked at the map.
Not good.
The radar, it looks terrible.
You don't want those cute little kid caddies blowing into another state.
Oh.
So, par 3 contest today, and then the tournament obviously starts tomorrow. Season's first major. We'll get to our celebrity contestant in just a second. All right, now, of course, there's always a struggle with Mary. All right, Mary Vanderbilt, I want you to listen now.
What?
Okay.
Yes.
This is your favorite part of the year.
How many are we going to do?
The picks was your favorite part of the year.
No, how many tournaments are we going to do?
We're going to do the four majors.
Okay.
You want to do the Players' Championship as well?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do the Players as well.
Mary goes, no.
But before we get to that, allow me to plug this. The 2017 BMW Championship has got the Majors Madness Contest as well. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest and register. You're challenged to pick the golfers you think will finish first through 10th for each tournament. The first place winner for every tournament wins a pair of tickets to the BMW back at Conway Farms this September. And the first place winner will get a round of golf for four at the Bolingbrook Golf Club, including warm-up, range balls, golf cart, and so on. Register and play Majors Madness, sponsored by BMW Championship, at WGNRadio.com/contest. Because this is so much fun for Mary, mm-hmm. I think she should pick first.
Yay. Oh, that's nice. Man.
All right, Mary. So
it doesn't really matter when I pick.
No. Four golfers. You need four golfers.
I thought there was three. Okay.
Four I'll golfers and a winning score. For instance, if you think the winning score is going to be 5 under or 10 under.
Oh.
Whatever the winning score is. Now, I will threaten and remind you that any of your players that miss the cut, they remain on your team. And their score simply doubles for the weekend.
I thought they got if they get booted off,
Yeah, so for instance, let's say you pick me and I go out and shoot 90-90. Okay, I'm not going to make the cut. Okay. And I'm already 36 over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, by the end of the weekend, I'd be 72 over because we double the score. Right. So you're stuck with me like a barnacle.
By the way, Mayor, getting the boot means you missed the cut.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
all right. Sure. So who are your four golfers?
Okay. Ricky Fowler. He's good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, very good.
He's supposed to win. I'm going with this young guy, Daniel Berger.
Daniel Berger is very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one more. Ugh. I guess everybody's going to pick him.
Dave Bennett?
No, I'll go with Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth, that's a pretty good list.
Thank you.
What do you think the winning score will be?
Is this one where they usually go low?
No, mid.
Okay.
Years ago, Tiger won with 12 under.
Yeah, but then they Tiger-proofed the course. Yeah.
Last year, Danny Willett won 5 under.
Okay, who cares? 3 under.
Oh,
wow.
Ooh. Pretty good pick.
Who picked your picks, Mayor? Those are good.
I did it myself.
I know, I'm kidding.
Nice going, Mayor.
Andre Darlis.
All right, I am going with Spieth.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, hang on. Okay,
go ahead. Sorry, ready?
Yeah.
Spieth?
Yeah.
These are the winning picks, by the way,
Yeah.
I'll just play along with you guys. Rory.
Dustin Johnson.
And I'm going with Justin Rose.
That's a
good pick. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dave.
Winning score?
11 under.
11 under. Wow, somebody's going to go low.
Mm-hmm. So once again, we have all the Justins, the Dustins, the Jordans. They all have nice little, names.
Well, that's just an adorable
Unless
time.
You pick Toto Gana.
Toto Gana's in the tournament, yes. It's not like a meditative state. I am in total Ghana.
I thought it was a yoga term.
Yeah. Dave?
I so don't want to make the same picks, but really, you look at the top guys in this, it's hard not to. Rory McIlroy.
Well, throw in a Sam Snead.
In the burger guy.
Well, I mean, I have a guy who I don't think.
How about Flip Wilson? He used to play in the old Bing Crosby.
Yeah, they pair him with Geraldine.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy to win. Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm.
John
12
Rahm's
under.
So, Mary,
12 under.
Dave picked my picks and then a fourth.
Yeah, he picked my picks, too.
Okay.
Please repeat your picks for the scorekeeper.
Rory McIlroy.
Yes.
Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Dustin Johnson. John Rahm. 12 under par.
My picks and a fourth, Mayor, in case you are still typing. Yeah.
All right, Sandberg, go.
I have Matthew Fitzpatrick. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.
John Rahm. Hideki Matsui, or Matsuyama, sorry, Matsuyama. Wrong,
that's a
wrong
good
sport.
Pick.
Hideki Matsui would, that'd be interesting.
You're not going to pick the big South American?
Angel Cabrera, baby.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
And I'm doing 6 under.
Okay. Pretty reasonable, I think. Mike Jacobson.
I'm going to do Ricky Fowler.
Right.
Dustin Johnson.
Yep.
Jason Day.
Okay.
And I'm going to do Daniel Berger, too.
Jason Day would be a great story. His mom has cancer, and it's a very rough time, and that'd be a very emotional win.
Well, he said yesterday, though, that she doesn't have to do chemo or anything.
Yeah.
Like, the surgery was clean, so I think she doesn't have cancer anymore.
Well, she didn't just go away.
But they did have to remove part of her lung.
They took part of her lung out. Yeah, but she doesn't have to do chemo or anything, so, the prognosis is really good.
Which is good. So he may play up a storm this weekend. Yeah. John DeCoste normally is sitting
score?
At the microphone.
Did you get a score?
Yeah, we need a score from you, Mike.
7 under.
Can I just tell you John DeCoste's picks last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trevino.
Mm-hmm.
Sarazen.
Gene Sarazen.
Mm-hmm. Bayer Sager.
Carol Bayer Sager, the composer.
And Gene Sarazen's dead.
Somebody sleep under.
Oh, geez.
That's what he picked.
Okay, now I get it.
Sleep under was the story you told us about sleep unders.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Right.
So that's where he was last year.
So. All right. So I have John's picks for this year, John. You can confirm these. Byron Nelson.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Gene Shalit, the former Today Show critic.
Yes, he's my second favorite.
Mm-hmm. Joe Rockhead ran the Water Buffalo Lodge on the Flintstones.
He should have won last year. Mm-hmm.
But I don't have your fourth. Who's your fourth?
Vic Tabak,
the cook from Alice.
Mel.
Okay. And final score? Winning score?
31.
31 under par.
Wait, right. Over or under, John?
Because you can go either way.
You can. You totally can.
Are we going with you, Mr. Cochran?
Yes, Brent Snedeker.
Snedeker.
Dustin Johnson. Justin Rose. Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose.
Nice.
And Jordan Spieth. And winning score, -8. And now you're what are my mother's picks? Do you have those in front of you?
Yes, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth. I do not have a score from her yet.
Yeah, we'll get it.
She did say, one moment.
Now, she has my picks. Is that okay that she picked the same ones as me?
She did say she didn't want to come on the show because we have too many people on already.
Yes. Okay, and she said, I wish I could go for Phil, but that's wistful thinking. So.
Yeah. So.
Okay. But she does like her theme song.
Okay, good.
And let's go to our celebrity picker. Oh. Right after Mary does traffic. Oh. All right, traffic, Mary, what do you got? Who could it be? Who could our special celebrity contestant be? I'm going to tell you right now, it's someone who likes golf.
Paul McCartney.
No? No, it's not Paul McCartney. It's somebody that likes Paul McCartney.
It's Justin Timberlake.
It's not Justin Timberlake. It's somebody that likes outer space.
Steve Grzanich.
It's not Steve Grzanich.
Buzz Aldrin.
It's not Buzz Aldrin. It's somebody whose name rhymes with Spike.
Spike.
Spike O'Dell, everybody.
Yay. Oh, how soon they forget.
Unbelievable.
How soon they forget. Hello, kids.
I was running out of clues.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm elated to hear how happy Mary Vanderbilt sounds when we do this again.
Nothing's changed, Spike.
Just like she was 10 years ago when we did this.
Have you heard Mary Vanderbilt's conscience? Because it comes up on a show quite a bit.
Well, I was hoping, you know, we could make an impact there. But and by the way, Mary, not bad picks either. Those are pretty good.
Thank you. I did it myself, Spike. A lot of research.
Very impressive. All right. First off, let's check on you. This is a well-being check for Spike. Mm-hmm. It looked like Nashville was kind of in the bullseye for bad weather today.
You know what? I'm betting against it. You know, okay. I've taken 4 advanced weather training classes now.
Right, and you were friends with Tom Skilling
forever. I consider myself an amateur meteorologist. I think all that stuff down there on the Gulf Coast is going to block moisture flow into the mid-state area here of Tennessee, and I think we will get an occasional supercell perhaps, but not a strong line of storms.
Look at you.
Thank you.
Look at you. Tom Skilling is weeping openly as he listens at his house.
You know what? You guys wish you had a sling cyclometer like I do now.
You had a great picture last night, Spikey, with the sunset. It was beautiful.
Yeah. You know what? I took that with my iPhone.
Oh.
I tell you what, that iPhone 7 takes a great picture. This is not a paid endorsement.
Yeah.
And when can we...
It did take a great picture. I'm finding myself just grabbing that and going real quick.
It's
now.
Great. When can we expect to see the first hummingbirds, too? Because I know...
You know what? I got my feeder up now. I was going to tell Mary that. They're already in Kentucky. They're that far north. Haven't seen one yet, but I do have it up and ready to go.
You know, listeners continue to send me hummingbird information.
You know what? I can't... I bet I get 2 or 3 a day.
Oh, I bet.
Year. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Dave, do you have any questions for Spike?
I did have one question. Spike, years ago you gave me advice on how to get rid of a woodpecker. Can you? Would you mind repeating that?
Yes, it's simple. Yeah, if you ask Lou Manfredini, he's got that in aisle 14 of your local Ace Hardware store. They're called poison pecker pellets.
Oh, of course.
That was it. Now I couldn't remember what they were called.
The 3 P's.
Poison pecker pellets.
Yes.
Thanks. You apply that in the area where the woodpecker shows up and it'll be feet up in the next morning.
Make sure you are careful on where you apply.
Yep. And say it 3 times.
Yes.
All right, give me four golfers.
By the way, I've changed this 4 times probably since I've heard everybody's picks.
Okay.
But I know I can pick the same ones. I'm going to go with the obvious one, Dustin Johnson.
Okay.
He's a bomber. He sets up great. And he's not always had the best Masters performance, but I think his short game has just been spot on, man.
Yeah, he's locked in.
So.
He reminds me of a young Spike O'Dell.
Yeah, kind of that way. He's not as long as I was, but but he still sets up very well for it. I'm going to go with Rory. I'm going to put Rory McIlroy down.
DJ and Rory.
Yeah, I got DJ and Rory. And here's where I want to part ways with you a little bit. I'm going to go Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas, one of the plain white boys on tour right now. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, just playing out of his head.
And
I think he's about ready to peak. He could have won last week, but he had a bad 9. Mm-hmm. Ricky Fowler.
And Ricky Fowler.
Despite his outfits, yeah.
All right, and give me a winning score.
8 under.
Yeah, I think 8 under is a number 2. All right, buddy, thanks for being our celebrity contestant. Please put some pants on if you go outside.
Woo-hoo. You know what? How did you know I don't have, I've got my, well, I got, I still have like these, they could be mistaken for boxers right now. I'm out stringing up fishing poles. The grandkids are here. The cool. kids go to Jamaica, and Dude and Nanny, we got to watch the grandkids, but that's fun. We'll do that today. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's my big brother that he never wanted to have a little brother. That's Spike. You. Love you back.
Love you, Spike.
Bye, Spike.
Love you, Spike.
Love you, Spike.
You.
And remember, I'm just renting the chair until he comes to his senses and comes back to work.
So, Spike.
Yes.
So Mike's girlfriend, Audrey, who's a golf nut.
Oh, did she pick?
She's not happy with his picks, so she weighed in. She does Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, Smiley Kaufman, 7-under. So
Smiley Kaufman.
We'll see how they face off.
Yeah. My wife just sent her picks.
All right, we'll put those in as well. By the way, Smiley Kaufman is the name of Sandberg's new dentist.
Okay. Yeah. Related to Justin?
9 o'clock, the CLTV hour is on. Hi to everybody there, and we'll come back and continue with the news next, followed by Kurt Byram with a pro's take on the Masters. My friend Brian Regan, good to have him back on the show. And then Brian Campbell before 10 o'clock and Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN.
Nicholas on 17. This is for sole possession of the lead. Maybe. Yes, sir!
One of the great calls of all time, 1986, Jack Nicklaus. And Vern Lundquist. I actually have Vern Lundquist follow me when I play. 3-footer for par. Oh, missed again. I never get a yes, sir. Actually, when I 4-putt, he goes, in your life have you ever seen putting this bad? My friend Kurt Byram, PGA Tour vet, does a great job on NBC and the Golf Channel. And it's Masters Week, and we want to get Kurt's take on what's going to happen, provided they play it. How bad is this weather going to be, Kurt?
Sounds like today is going to be stormy. I was just looking at the radar map there. Might be missing them right now, but it sounds like today at some point they're going to get a lot of weather, some pretty heavy thunderstorms. So that's going to soften it up. But then Thursday and Friday is when the really bad weather is going to be for these guys out there playing. It's supposed to blow. I mean, they're saying steady 20 to 25.
How about that?
35, both Thursday and Friday. Plus it's going to be chilly, too, on top of it. So it's going to be some tough sledding out there on Thursday and Friday. It's going to be really interesting.
You usually don't get bad Masters Week weather. I remember when Zach Johnson won, I think it was 2007, it was cold all week and windy. Mm-hmm. But usually you don't get this British Open stuff, and it looks like that's what it's going to be for a couple days.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think on that note, you mentioned Zach Johnson. I think this weather Thursday, Friday, to me, brings in – it gives more guys chances to win this tournament. You know, going in, there were some obvious favorites and some guys that are high on your list of dark horses and all that. But I think just this weather just throws a kind of a huge wrench into things, and kind of I think it's going to allow more players to have a chance. So we'll see how it pans out. But I think guys should be encouraged. You know, guys that aren't bombers or maybe they haven't played well there in the past or something, you know, I think they can actually feel like they have a chance.
Got Danny Willett last year out of nowhere. There's always at least one or two Europeans on at least the first couple of days of the leaderboard where you're going, I'm sorry, who? Or, you know, if you're not a big golf fan, maybe you don't follow it. Who's going to be the European sleeper that you see?
Wow, that's a really good question. I mean,
because the obvious ones at the top are Rory and guys like that. But, I mean, there's always somebody down the list that you're not thinking of.
I'll tell you a guy that I like a lot this week. He's not European, but he's Australian. It's Mark Leishman.
Yeah, and he won. He won a couple weeks ago, right?
He did. And so, I mean, people, you know, golf fans are probably pretty aware of Mark Leishman. But Mark Leishman, first of all, he's great in the wind. Grew up in Australia, playing in the wind, so he's good in the wind anyway. He's playing well right now. And I just, you know, there's something about Leishman. He's been in contention at the Masters a couple times. I think he finished second maybe the year that Adam Scott won. He's had a couple of great chances to win the Open over, you know, the British Open. I think he's been in a playoff there. He's had two or three really good chances over there. So his game is good in big tournaments, big majors like this. So I think Leishman would be my dark horse. You know, the favorites are still, I think, the Dustin Johnson, McIlroy, Spieth, depending on how Day is with his mom and everything. I think, you know, possibly Jason Day. He's played well, really well there in the past.
McIlroy had, I don't even know how you describe it, the Masters yips. He owned it. Back nine on a Sunday, he started throwing just big screaming hooks into the yards where the cabins were. Does that go away when you're as good as he does, or is that always sort of lingering in the back of your mind?
I think he's probably has some of that, you know, lingering in the back of his mind. I did read an article this week, though. He's fairly good friends with Jack Nicklaus.
And right.
Nicklaus said, he said, just don't take on too much, were Nicklaus's words. In other words, you don't always have to go for everything. You can play conservative there and give yourself a chance, and maybe that'll help a little bit, because he really takes what Jack says to heart. And, you know, he's so good. One of these years, because of the quality of play that you see out of McIlroy and the way he hits that driver, he loves hitting that huge high draw around those corners. One of these years, he's going to be on fire and he's going to win the Masters. And I don't know if it's this year or not, but he comes in playing really well, Steve, so I think he'll be a factor.
Yeah, I love his swing. You know, as an amateur, you watch great golf swings, and at least you can take it out for the first two or three holes. And he's just got this great swing. Andreas Hattaker.
Hey, Kurt, how are you? We just did our Masters picks. I'm a huge fan of Justin Rose, always have been. Ricky Fowler as well. Could this possibly be a year for them? And I want to ask you about Sergio, too. I know he already has one win this year already. He plays well at Augusta. Or he hasn't been great at Augusta, but he's only missed one cut, I think, in the past eight starts. So I wanted to ask you about those guys.
No, I love your picks. I love them. I think Justin Rose is kind of right where he wants to be, too, as far as how he's playing his way into the Masters this year. He played last week in Houston, played solid all week, didn't have a chance to win or anything, but he played pretty solid. I think the question mark with Rose will be the putter. I mean, he's always struggled a little bit. He's one of the best ball strikers on tour, but he struggled a little bit with the putter. Fowler, I like that too. A lot of people are like critical of him. Well, he shot 80 there last year. He has no chance. I would disagree with that. I love your pick of Fowler as well, because he comes in playing well. I like guys that are coming in with some momentum. And who's your Sergio?
Yeah, yes, I didn't pick Sergio, but yeah, it's strange because I was surprised to read he only missed one cut in the past eight starts. Everyone's always saying this is the year.
It's getting late, but it'd be surprising if Sergio goes a career without winning a major. Yeah. Dave, we're out of time, but last
somewhere.
Yeah, right. Last word for you from Kurt.
Yeah, real quick, Kurt. I know he doesn't have a lot of momentum this week, but since Pebble Beach, but Jordan Spieth. He's there every year at the Masters, and one bad hole. Is that a problem for him, looking back at last year? Does he kind of just shrug that off?
In my opinion, he shrugs it right off. He's finished second, first, and second. He knows how to get the ball around that golf course. So I really think he'll shrug that off. I think he'll get through there today or Thursday, and you know it'll be windy. Who knows what he'll shoot. But I really don't think that's a big deal to him. I think he's one of the toughest players mentally that's on tour right now, even though he's, what, 23 years old or something?
Right, yeah.
So I think he'll shrug it right off and be fine. He's definitely on my list of picks.
So I don't know who is his mental coach, but they use me as the before picture and he's the after.
Yeah, exactly.
Great hearing you, bud. And you're doing such good stuff on Golf Channel and NBC, and I know I'll see you this summer, and I look forward to it.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
It's great. Kurt Byram. And Brian Regan standing by. We'll get to Brian in just a second. Brian, a superior athlete. Triple gold winner in the synchronized swim. The one man. Just synchronized with himself. 9:20 back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Press conferences. For some reason, they still have not learned that you need to put a microphone on the people asking the questions. They do this at police press conferences. When you need to know what's happening, because something's going down. They got the police chief, he's got the badge on, you're at home, what's happening? And you're watching this. At this point, we don't know how many escaped convicts there are. Nunchucks and flamethrowers. Yes, that's the neighborhood we think they're hiding in.
Over the course of your lifetime, you need to do three things. You need to see the sunrise over the ocean. You need to visit the Grand Canyon and stare at its majesty. And you need to pay full price for Brian Regan tickets in concert. My friend Brian Regan back on the show. It's been far too long. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back. Looking forward to Friday night at the Chicago Theater. Are you still doing the yodeling thing you do right in the middle of the set?
I do it at the beginning, in the middle, and then at the end.
Okay, so it's a beginning, middle, and end kind of thing. Good for you.
Yes.
How you been? Are the kids old enough to put you in a home yet?
My son just turned 18.
Wow.
So he's an adult. You know, he can make decisions. When I say, hey, please pass the salt, he's like, I don't have to. Right? Nothing I can do about it. I got to go across the table and get my own salt now. My daughter is 13, and she never did pass the salt.
Right, right. How's the eye rolling? You getting a little of that?
They're still cool. They still look up to me in a way, but I think I've talked to other comedians about this. Kids of comedians have to endure our worst comedy. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like,
when we think of something that's just really, really corny and lame that we know could never live on a stand-up stage somewhere, our kids have to hear it. And so they do roll their eyes when I tell those kind of goofy jokes.
And I remember talking to Brian years ago about this when I think you had just had babies and my kids were little. And I think I was doing an afternoon show. I was going,
yes. Wait,
the kids have no idea what you do. Their friends' dads, you know, they work 9 to 5. They wear a suit and a tie. You go out for an hour or two at night. You come back. You're like a cat burglar.
I remember when my daughter, she was really, really young, and she said that she liked three kinds of dogs. She was like 4 when she said this. She said she liked large dogs. She liked small dogs. And she liked comedian dogs. And I realize my daughter thinks I'm a size.
Well, you're better than ever. Oh, this Netflix thing. I just saw the plug on this. The Netflix thing. First off, Chicago Theater, Friday night. There's just a few seats left. Don't miss out on this to see Brian Regan. And we'll give you the link and the number and all that. But you're doing two specials for Netflix?
I'm doing two specials for Netflix. The first one we're taping in Denver at the end of June, and then the next one we'll be doing a couple years down the road. But maybe they just want to give me two shots at it to get one right. I don't know, but I'm pretty fortunate, I guess, in that regard.
Well, Netflix is doing this thing now where they are owning all of entertainment, and the Chappelle specials that are out now, you know, he's got a couple that are out now. You know, Seinfeld specials have been out. Louis C.K. is doing a couple. Chris Rock. I mean, yes, that's a home run lineup, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Netflix is playing Texas Hold'em poker, and they just took all their chips and said, we're all in.
Yeah, exactly.
They shoved them all into the middle of the table and said, we're all in. And it's up to everybody else to decide whether they're going to fold or call. You know, it's in everybody else's seat now.
But here's the thing I don't understand about Netflix, because everybody cheats and lets, you know, 28 people use your code. You know, you share your email and your code, your password with everybody. So Netflix is spending $1 billion every day hiring the likes of Brian Regan. You think Brian Regan's working for 4 figures? I'm telling you right now, he's not. So I don't get how they're making, you know, enough money to pay for this.
You got me. I'm not on the business side of things, but from what little I've heard, they're expanding internationally and doing well with, I guess, people in other countries who haven't figured out yet that they can steal other people's code.
John DeCoste is here. John, when did you last work with Brian? Was it 88, 89?
88, 89. Brian and I worked at the Funny Firm in Chicago. And I've also worked with his brother as well, Dennis. So he's phenomenal. Brian is just incredible. So it's good to talk to you again, Brian. You will never remember it. It's okay. You do remember the Funny Firm, though.
Of course, yeah. Nice to see you, John. Wow, well, man. That's, or hear from you.
That's fine. But I have a question for you because, you know, I'm a clean act, and I have been all these years and still continue to be. You have always been a clean act. Your thought on that, because so many of the new comics are just so blue.
Well, I, I, it just, is the kind of stuff I like to talk about. I just like to talk about everyday things, you know. I mean, there are people out there who work blue, dirty, raunchy, or whatever you want to call it. And if it's natural for them, I'm all for it, you know. Richard Pryor had some four-letter words. George Carlin had some four-letter words, and they're great, you know what I mean? But, you know, I just tend to, you know, I look down a dark alley and see horrible things. I don't think of any jokes. I go into a donut shop and, on it, and my brain goes berserk.
That's perfect.
Right. And if he goes into a donut shop and he starts screaming about more effing sprinkles, it's a different act. So
that just means I need more time.
It's my friend Brian Regan. And again, you can go to brianregan.com for details, but just broadwayinchicago.com is the best way to get the few remaining tickets for Friday night. Is this a long tour for you?
It's a nonstop tour, you know.
Right.
I guess tours for most people have a beginning and an end, but I didn't realize that. When I first went out on tour, it's like the Gilligan's Island tour. There's a hole in the boat, and I don't think I'm ever getting back.
Right, so you started this tour at the Funny Firm with John in 1988, and it's still going on.
That's right.
So, yeah. Well, listen, have a great show Friday night. I know you will, and I hope a whole bunch of new folks come out and get a chance to see you. Even after all these years, there's new faces all the time going, hey, you know about Brian Regan? Yeah, kind of. Yeah, a little bit. But love you, man. Thanks, and safe travels.
I appreciate it, Steve. And, John, great to hear from you, man.
Oh, good. And good luck. You'll have a great time.
Okay, thanks.
See you guys. He's just a good guy. You know, here's the thing. To be recognized as one of the funniest guys on stage for as long as he has is one thing. But then in addition to that, to be known as one of the nicest guys in show business. I mean, you don't have that.
Yeah, and we're not stroking. It's the absolute truth.
Yeah,
absolute
he really is truth. A good dude. 9:32. More effing sprinkles. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A couple more food textures. This could be a winner. 847, my kids love peanut butter and caper sandwiches.
Capers?
The kids 6, 4, and 5. 815, peanut butter on a BLT. That's an Elvis move, too.
That actually wouldn't be too bad, because if you just put it on the bread, you know, it's kind of like a
like if you took a crispy strip of bacon and dunked it in peanut butter, would that be good?
Mm-hmm. Yummy, right, Steve? Bacon and peanut butter? Look at
yeah, why am I asking Grzanich about this?
He's so
hold on, let me turn your microphone on.
Peanut
yes.
butter on a bagel with bacon on it. Delicious.
Peanut butter and what were we talking about before? Cottage cheese on what?
Spaghetti mixed with spaghetti.
Cottage cheese on spaghetti.
Well, that's probably not too
but
bad.
But you know what? It'd
be like ricotta or something.
Yeah, at first I thought it was gross, but yeah, it's like manicotti.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Why are you looking at us weird?
Bacon. Maybe if I put bacon in spaghetti.
A couple of balloons ain't a naked girl. I'm just saying that, you know, that cottage cheese ain't ricotta. You know what I'm
right.
saying? The Blackhawks alma mater in the Frozen Four. Just want to give you a couple of these before we get to Brian Campbell. Vinny Henestrosa, Notre Dame grad.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Bowman, Notre Dame. Mark Eaton, Director of Player Development, Notre Dame. Norm McIver, what a good dude Norm is. Norm McIver, Minnesota Duluth. Derek Plant, Minnesota Duluth. And Kevin Dineen, Coach Q's right hand, is a Denver grad. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Blackhawk interest. For the Frozen Four, get your tickets if there are any left. And if there aren't many. Speaking of tickets and a plug, do we have any tickets left for Saturday night?
I think there are just a couple. To be honest,
and literally a couple.
I mean, it's pretty much sold out. But they could add, I think, a couple of seats. So please feel free to call. We're at the Metropolis on Saturday. Lovely Andrea doing stand up. We have a lot of variety happening. A nice game show. You will be there. I will be there.
We're gonna do something a little different too.
Okay.
We'll explain it Saturday night, and then I'll tell you about it Monday for folks that don't make it to the show. But considering my medical situation and my associated lack of stamina, there's going to be a lot of sitting when I'm on stage.
Which you're just as funny when you sit as when you stand.
Yeah, so I may actually bring
out
a couch.
I don't think so.
I may bring out a couch and take a very funny nap
Yeah. You should bring out a recliner.
Yeah, recliner would be good. A Chase Lounge. How
yeah, we
about
get
that?
It sponsored.
There you go. Yeah,
hey, that's not bad.
Sponsor.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
Recliner. Get a little ottoman. Put your feet up.
Funniest thing from this staff all week, everybody's going, you should get a Rascal. What, for the photo op for the internet? Please.
No, I thought a Segway.
It's coming tomorrow.
I'm going to have them sponsor
Rascal
for a set. Do you want me to tell them where to go?
The Rascal people were to drop
it. No.
Yeah.
No. Please call. We're at the Metropolis Theater in downtown Arlington Heights. Box office 847-577-2121 or metropolisarts.com.
How sad is it that I've reached a point in my life where standing up for 45 minutes and being a smartass is physically taxing?
No.
Baby.
You should be happy.
Yes. Just happy to be there. Brian Campbell joins us next live from the West Coast. This is 720 WGN.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Yada-da-da-da-da. Overnight in Colorado, then the boys leave town. Brian Campbell joins us, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
All right. You anxious to get the playoffs started?
Yeah, but we got to finish these games. We got to play better than we did last night, obviously. So a couple big games here this weekend. So I'm looking forward to the next game against Anaheim. It should be pretty intense and fun to play.
I could be slightly off on the stats, Dave, from last night, but the Avs have had a bad year. But last night they outshot the Hawks 411-10.
It was 51-27.
Oh, well, it felt like that. I'm sure it felt worse on the ice because, Brian, I don't know if you know, you played in the game.
Yeah, I do know that, but I appreciate you bringing that up. you know what? We were just sloppy in a lot of areas. So, you know, that's why I said tomorrow night, Anaheim, I think it's they're a really good team, and it's going to be, you never know if in the playoffs what happens if you see them down the road. So we want to come out with a big effort.
Sure, you want to win these last two, have it going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. Get on that high note going into the playoffs.
Well, I appreciate you getting up for this. You sound like you got a little bit of a cold. Is that just an allergy to Denver?
No, a little like nasal drip kind of thing. Like really stuffy here for some reason. I don't know.
Altitude, right? Probably altitude. True. Yeah. You're at a mile. All right. So everybody's healthy. Darling's healthy. It's just two to go, and then we figure out who we're going to play. And now it's still, Dave, if I'm right, it still looks like Nashville.
Well, it's very close. I mean, you have St. Louis holding that third place in the division, but they're one point ahead of Nashville.
Ah.
And Nashville lost in overtime last night, so they picked up a point. And they're tied with Calgary, although I think Calgary has the advantage there. So, I mean, it's a very close race, and it's probably going to go down to the last game of the year in terms of determining who that opponent is going to be.
Yeah, I don't care who it is. Soup doesn't care who it is. Let's just get it going.
Thanks.
Trying to make you feel better when I take a stand like that, Soup?
Do you want me to, Well, you know what? For us, it doesn't. We have no control on who we play. So whoever we play, we play. So I think it's obviously those are the teams that you're looking at that you could possibly be playing.
The Blues are just big and mean. So it'd be
they've played well. I mean, they've been playing very well lately.
Be good for the Blues to have it. You know, anytime you have a chance to knock the Blues out and ruin their year, that's fun. And you just work your way through one at a time. So is it the longest playoff season in sports?
That's a good question. I think it's...
You got to win 16 games,
it is,
right?
Because they're all best of seven series.
Yeah, and you got to win 16 games.
Yeah.
It's a long one. It's a long haul.
Hey, Brian, do you guys still get on into the playoff video game wars? I know I know Kaner and Taves were into that Mario Kart that was like a big...
Yeah.
You guys are all still into that?
Not during the regular season, but I think they have kind of like a lounge set up in the playoffs for us on the road, so we have some place to kind of go to, because you're not really going to be walking around outside or doing anything. So
they've changed it up this year. It's solitaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's roulette.
Real exciting.
Rick Gowron from Chicago sent in the question, the MB Financial Bank question. And a question for you, Brian, is what is the half circle in front of the penalty box?
That half circle in front of the penalty box is for the refs to go to. So if they're discussing like a penalty or whatever, you as a player or the captain, let's say Jonathan, he can't enter that circle while they are discussing.
So they can have their little private zone.
Correct. So you're not supposed to go into that during that time.
What if you were wearing a disguise? It's not
you
bad enough.
Then, yeah.
Not bad enough he gets up early and he's got post-nasal drip. He's got to deal with me being a smartass. Brian, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. And, yeah, go finish these last two off and you'll feel better about starting next week.
For sure. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for getting up. See you, buddy. That's Brian Campbell. It's a good dude.
Yes, he is.
One of the best. So what do you guys want to do now? Oh, let's take a break. Come back and Bill and Wendy will be next on 720 WGN.